146.
Tonight, if you have your Bibles in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we're thankful now to have each of you that have come. The Lord knew who would be here. Thought about Brother Brandon talking about the things that just happened. You know, I understand what he's saying. There's a reason for all things. And, you know, the Lord has a reason for that, for whatever it is. So, we look forward to being here. We appreciate your attention. We trust that it's been a blessing. As Brother Brandon has stated, we appreciate your prayers and ask you to pray much for us in earnestness. And we would love to see some of these that are lost. We would love to see them saved. Trust the Lord. They know who they are, as the Lord knows who they are, that needs to trust Him. Notice verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds." Now I'm going to stop here in verse 3. Read enough this afternoon to provoke the thought that's on our heart. Think about these scriptures, and when you look at the example, he mentions here a cloud of witnesses. He said, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And the word that you get before that is seeing. Now, you know, he said, just seeing is to fix your eyes up on Jesus. You can look at the men, the women that's mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and they are great men and women. Men, women of faith. They're men and women of confession of faith. They're men and women of a reward of faith. They they endured, they finished their course. And if you'll notice what the remainder of the verse says, let us lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, they laid aside every sin that does so easily beset them. Christ didn't have a sin to lay aside. And yet He was tempted in every way that you and I. So when you think about being tempted in every way, tempted the same temptations that you and I face, they knew how, or He knew how, through faith, to be able to lay aside those sins that doth so easily beset Him. These men and women in the Bible, they were men, they were humans, they were human men and women, and they faced temptations. The temptations that would lead them astray, the temptations that would cause them to stumble, all of that was there. And when you look at these men and women, you think about how great a people they were. And yet, it wasn't them that made them be great people.
Amen.
It was what they had their faith and belief in.
Amen.
Now, he goes on, he said, what is that in? He said, looking unto Jesus. Verse 2, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him. Consider, word compare. That's what consider is. You compare Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. The very people that fought against Him, the very people that fight against Him today, are those that are sinners. Those that, you know, do not know Christ. Or I'll go back and use what I want to provoke with you tonight, that do not know the author and the finisher of faith. So when you look at that subject, or you take that thought and you begin to provoke it among people, he said looking. Looking, if you're just looking at the Word just a moment, and you're considering it, I use the word seeing. Looking is... is fixing your eyes up on Jesus, up on God. And when you're looking unto Jesus, you've got your eyes fixed upon Him. And you don't see pieces and portions. What you're looking at is, he said here, the author. A lot of you know what an author is, right? It's where it begins. The author is the one that it originates from. And so when you look at Jesus just a moment, and you begin at the origination, where it began, He was there in the very beginning. And the thing about Him that you look at it, it mentions about Him, and it goes on, He said, the finisher of our faith. He was the originator of our faith, and He is the finisher of our faith. Now, when you stop and you look, or you take and try to provoke that to see Him, and I want to use another scripture, Hebrews chapter 3, just a moment. The writer of Hebrews used numerous things. The reason I said that he was, no doubt, I feel like Paul wrote the book, was a man that's very familiar with the Old Testament. Paul, as a Pharisee, had studied much of the Old Testament writings. And he was declared, you know, a Pharisee. That's what classified him as that. He was one that studied those things. And when you look at verse 1, he said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, you ever think about Jesus being the originator, the very beginner? And when you look at it, he was the beginner. He mentions here an apostle. What was an apostle? One sent out. That's what an apostle is. Not called, but one sent out. And when you think about one being sent, Christ was sent to be the originator or the beginning of our faith. We didn't just luck up and catch faith somewhere along the way, brother. Right? Faith began the moment that we trusted Jesus. And it's up to you and I. I mean, we don't have to have faith after that. We can sit down and we can just forget about it. We can go back through some scripture where that we can go so far back to forget that we were ever purged from even from our sins. That'd be a horrible place to be, wouldn't it? There's scriptures that speak about it would be better, had been better that we had never known righteousness, had never been saved and such as that, than to be a person like that. But I'm looking at a people this afternoon that no doubt you, and since you have begun your confession of faith, it's just like Paul, Jesus being the apostle, that you and I have been sent into the world. And I know the word that we use much of the time is a missionary or as mission work. But you and I have been sent into the world to be a confession of faith unto people that are out here among us. Amen. Do they hear of that faith and see of that faith that you and I have partaken of? Get the word again. Wherefore, holy brother, partakers. You didn't get your own faith when you trusted Jesus. You became a partaker of the faith. And your confession of faith, when you came and made it known, what did you make known? That I have believed, I have trusted Jesus Christ. You have made a confession. I know we use the word profession, but actually it's a confession. When a person believes, in Romans chapter 10, when a person will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, notice verse 10, for with the heart, remember the heart, it's the inward man. The inward man that has the evil, the inward man that will live after that, and yet it's the very same heart that should they trust, be willing to trust Jesus Christ dying for them, that heart can be made anew. Now notice here, he said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you and I came forth, we made a confession that we have faithfully, through faith, through believing, we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Isn't that what we confessed?
Amen.
There's nothing else to confess, is there? So we go on from there. And so we begin to face a little persecution. We begin to face a few obstacles in life. We begin to face a few hardships in life. And what we forget is the confession of faith that we just made. We just confessed that I believe God is, or Jesus is the Son of God. I believe God is the Supreme Being. I believe that God is the Creator. That's the things that we're confessing. And yet as we face and we run into obstacles of life, or that we face things in life that, you know, we fail to continue to confess in that same faith. Why is that? We find ourselves trusting in ourselves. We find ourselves trusting in the government. You know, I remember in the early 80s, I got out of high school in 84, and, you know, we were coming out from under the Iron Curtain. Y'all remember that this old enough? Here's Russia, 30-odd years or so later. I say 30, and I had to go back and figure it up, maybe 40. But here we are, a nation that went bankrupt, a nation that had built everything into military power and such as that. I mean, they failed under that curtain. And for 40 years, 35, 40 years, they have struggled, they have worked, and somehow or other, we have become totally dependent on them to produce what we need. And not only them, China. And we got the best resources in this country that there is. And somehow or other, we want to build those countries up. So we're to take and make those third world countries be equal to America, which is becoming a third world country. It's sad to see it, isn't it? And that's what is happening. And yet you ask the question, why is it coming down like that? Because there's many people in this country that has made a confession. But it's no longer a confession of faith. I'm not talking about a profession of faith to be saved, Brother Brandon. I'm talking about the confession of faith that no matter what we're struggling, and we are struggling as America, we're facing a lot of things, and people are sitting back, and you think about it, whatever we face, we were talking about different things, that no matter what, God's still able to provide.
Amen.
He never asked me to try to figure it out. All He's ever asked me to do is trust Him. The confession that I started with should be the same confession that today that it was when I began. Because He is the finisher of our faith. And to prove that to you, you can look at a couple things, other things. Look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. He said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us in our place." That's what "for us" is. Leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Any of you ever taken and gone back and just studied the life of Jesus? I mean, from the time that He was born, it wasn't an easy road for Him, was it? I mean, you take at the age of 12, you take somewhere in the early teenage years, His dad of earth, Joseph, died. I don't know exactly when it was, but soon thereabout, you never heard any more of Joseph. Known as a carpenter's son, He knew what hard work was. He knew those things and all such as that. But what He got persecuted the most for was from the people that He loved the most and was reaching out to try to help. And when you think about it tonight, it's that same way. Instead of people being willing to confess their faith in God and let Him be the author and the finisher, that that hostility is still there against Him today. Why is it? Any of you ever watched the weather? Not just out here when clouds build up and a hurricane builds in the Gulf and it starts moving this way. You got the pandemic, the COVID, such as that. I'm not going to go back into that one, but let me just finish with the storm. People go to getting antsy. People go to getting upset. Some start packing up. We're going north. We're just not going to stay around. We're going to do a lot of things, and yet, you know, you got some, and I'm glad to know that there are some people that just think, and I'll use an example. When Katrina was coming through, our youngest boy was standing there at the front door, and he said, "Daddy, you ought to watch this oak tree in the front yard." He said, "It'll lean to the left for a while," and he said, "In a little bit, it'll go all the way back to the right." He said, "It hadn't failed yet." I told him, son, "I'm not going out there to put a hand up there to try to prop it up and hold it." I said, "But I'm going to trust somebody that can reach there and hold it without on both sides." And that tree never did fall. I mean, you could watch the dirt and the roots. You could see them walk, coming up, rising up, and it settled back down. They'd rise up on the other side as it go one way, and it settled back down. And we began to clean the trees up on our place. And I told the guy that was cleaning them up, I said, "I want to cut it down and remove it out of my yard." I said, "Something that'll touch the house. I no longer want it nearby." And people said, "Well, you want the shade tree?" "I don't want any more shade trees. I'm done with that." Anyway, the tree's about this big around. And the guy said, "There's nothing wrong." I said, "I still want it on the ground." We took and put the traco against it to make it go away from the house, and we cut it, and it had a crack in the middle of it about that long. He said, "A few years from now, that thing would have been dead." I said, "I'm afraid there are going to be a lot of trees that way." I look back at that. Only God could have held that tree there and not let it fall on my house. There was a lady told me one day, she said, "You know, Brother Terry," she said, "you can tell who's saved and who's lost." I said, "How is that?" She said, "Well, lost people got their tree, a tree fell on the lost people's house." And she said, "The tree didn't fall on saved people's house." I said, "That's not true." I said, "It must be a difference between Mississippi and Louisiana." I said, "Because in Louisiana, I did get one on my front porch a little bit. And I know I'm saved.
I said, so that theory doesn't walk in Louisiana, or at least with me. I said, only God knows the reason. I said, I can take you and show trees that laid down beside the house and this and that. We got the limbs. I said, it could have been a lot worse. I said, but I believe that God took care of all those things. Ida comes through, and I was close enough. I don't know how close you were to Katrina. I know it went up Pearl River, but I was on the west side of Katrina. Ida, I was on the east side. Katrina's 30 miles from the Ida. I was 15 miles from, we were 15 miles from the Ida. Katrina was daytime. Ida was nighttime. You said, where is this going? My confession of faith, I sat there when I heard the storm was coming. I got my little study back there where I sat down, I read and study and pray and different things like that, Brother Brandon, and I was sitting there and I began to ask God. And I said, God, I can read back through your word where Jesus, while he was here on this earth, I said he could stand, walk on the waters, he could say, peace be still, or command the waters to be still, the winds to stall. I said, I still believe that you're the very God that could do and did do that then as you can do now. You have any, I'm not asking you to compare, do not. Compare your faith to mine. Compare your faith. Consider. Compare your faith to Jesus. And so, Brother Terry, that's where I'm at. I'm unworthy. I'm not worthy yet. He understood that. He knows that. We know that. But it's not about an unworthiness. It's an understanding as being unworthy that God, I can't do it. I'm not deserving to even ask of this. But you teach us to ask, seek, and knock that it might be given and opened. So if we look at his life, he didn't have an easy life on this earth. He said, listen, or he used the scripture. He said, the foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He went out into that garden. He went out into a mountain many, many nights. And I don't know how much he slept, probably very little. But he was on his face or down on his knees praying for this people. You remember when he came in Matthew 23, when he walked toward the city of Jerusalem and he stood kind of on a hill there and he looked down over them and he saw those people and he said, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how wouldest I have, I would have saved you. I'm putting my word there. I would have saved you. I would have kept you as a hen would have gathered her biddies or her chicks up under her. He said, so would I have done you. The next scripture says, behold, thou hast become desolate. You know, when you think about that, what God can do for us. Now, I've come to this place. America, we look at it, we want to see God bless it and such things as that. But America's not going to start at the top and come down to become a people that look to God. America starts from the homes, and it starts more from people that believe. It's people that will trust. People that began in faith and be willing to finish in faith. You take the life of Christ, he began, and when he hung at Calvary and said, it's finished, he finished his life in faith. He believed in the work that God had sent him to do. And to complete it in a way, Brother Ryan, that would please his Father. And the evidence of that, I read it to you in Hebrews, where that God lifted him up and set him at his right hand.
Amen.
You can look at a number of scriptures before I get there. Look back in Luke chapter 10 while I'm thinking about it. All right. I do think about it. Luke chapter 10, we got the 70 that has been sent out, 70 disciples. So the work that Christ come here to do was growing. It was gaining in laborers. We need laborers today. And I know many say, well, we just need ministers. You know what the laborers is that we need more of? Confessions of faith. In our life, in the work that God's given you, every one of you, are in this as a laborer, and part of this harvest that is white. Veils are white. They are ready. And you and I cannot go out there and accomplish anything unless we have the faith that God provide the help we need to finish that harvest. Any of you ever harvested anything? You start in a garden? How many of you look at the row and say, that is a long row? My daddy, when he planted something, he didn't know to just say, I'm going to plant it this length of the room. All daddy believed was it was a pound of seed. You put it in the planter and you plant till it ran out. It didn't matter if it went from here to the other side of the road and come back a couple of times. And then the thing makes and it's covered in peas. All of you pick peas. The peas at least are out where you can reach them. It was a butter bean rose that I looked at a lot of times and I'm going, goodness, it is going to be one long, long day and a couple of days probably before it's over. We ate at your house tonight. Tammy said, you see what's in this? I said, I do. Mama didn't believe in waiting until the butter bean got full. Mama believed in when they were ready to pick is when they put the little tiny bean in. And you basically had to break and tear to get the bean, the three little butter beans out of there. Because that's all that's going to be in a pot. 2 to 3. And I often ask, I said, why? What is the difference? Oh, they're sweeter. Mama, they all taste the same to me. They were a lot harder to get, though. If you've ever done that, and I'll tell you what, when they go to butter bean packs, it's time to go. I didn't look. My thought was, I don't know if we're ever going to finish these rows. Because you bend over a while, you get out on your knees a while, you'll crawl a while. You'll sit down a while, you'll roll a while. Because that row gets longer and longer and longer. Y'all laugh, y'all done it. You understand, we've got a harvest out here, and God has never told us that we're going to stroll through it in luxury, has He? Yes. I've driven and I've harvested a many acre of corn on tractors and big equipment and such as that. I've done all of that, and we've done hundreds of acres. And I can tell you this, even in a piece of equipment, as large as it is and as convenient as it is, it's still a labor to get out there and run that thing all day long. Amen. I was talking to Brother Dean. I was thinking about asking him how much hay they cut yesterday. He said somewhere between 40 to 60 acres. I've done that. I rolled into a field at daylight, lay that cutter down, and I've run as long as it was this time of the year, as long as I had enough daylight to run. Roll out of a 100-acre field, and it'd be time, maybe didn't quite finish, maybe did finish, and move over to another. We've done that day in and day out, and then circle back, start raking it up, and putting the bales up. I can say this, you can run, and it's going to break down. There's going to be something in that labor that's out there that's going to hinder, and you either have to believe I can fix it and make it go, and do fix it to go, or you're going to sit there and lose the heart. You reckon how much of the harvest we'll lose that God's sent us out into? It's too hard now, Brother Terry. People's hearts is too hard. People are so indifferent. I understand all that's being said. But I know this, if there's anybody that's going to be able to help them, it's going to have to come from God.
Amen.
I'm going to keep asking, I'm going to keep trusting, I'm going to keep confessing that what I believe God can do, and there'll be somebody along the way, there will be somebody that's going to listen, Brother Jesse. Do I wish or do I hope or do I trust that it might be some of your family, some of mine? Yes, I do. Some of my pastor, Brother Brandon, yes, I do trust it'd be some of them. But I also understand that we do our part, we send out, we go out, we work, we labor, and if they don't trust, along the way, there was some butter beans. You all know how it is. I'll go back and back up. How many of you dug our potatoes? Daddy didn't believe anything but 100-pound sack. Well, there's only 9 rows there. 10, 11. Now, he'd go out, we'd dig them up, and we'd walk down through there, and he didn't just pick the potato up. I could go back from the start when he started. You didn't just drop the slice of potato. You had to bend over and turn it up and make sure the eye was standing there. Now, I believe that. He convinced me of that. But where I'm going with digging them, that Brother Jerry, whenever you go down through there, if you didn't roll that dirt back and forth and sift it out, you'd miss a potato. And then he'd say, go get the disc and let's disc it up and see what else we missed. And it's already 100 degrees. It's already hot and we picked up 1,000 pounds. And I had a cousin with me. And he helped us one day. We got through and my daddy said, you want potatoes or you want me to pay you? He said, pay me. I can go buy potatoes at Walmart. There's a lot of people don't realize what it takes. Even in serving God, even reaping and going out and harvesting in the fields that God's given us. There's not many that wants to participate in that labor. The laborers are few, he says. Well, you can have a church building, a church record, and logbook that's got 200 people on it. But you know you're not going to get 200 people to labor. If you had one with 50 on it, you're not going to get all 50 to labor. How many of you are laboring? Show you how important it is. Luke chapter 15 talks about a man that has 100 sheep. First 5 or 6 verses there. He's going through his sheep. He knows them well enough, probably call them all by name, know what they look like. And he comes along and he realizes there's one missing. So he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and he begins to walk backwards of the ground they traveled. He begins to look and he does not stop until he finds that one lost sheep. You ever think about maybe God's given you one person to work on? And that person is out like being out there all by themselves and such as that. And you know, you keep looking and what do we do most of the time? We'll give up pretty quick, won't we? The parable that's right there follows it. It talks about the woman that has 10 coins. And when you look at it, she lost that one coin in that house. She knew it was there, but she didn't let anyone, she didn't panic. She began to thoroughly labor and search and move around. She did, and make sure that she could find that coin. And just like that one sheep, when that coin was found, she rejoiced that she could do it. What did it say about Christ? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before, him endured the cross, despising the shame. Not many people call labor joy, do they? I never did go out and say I enjoyed picking up our potatoes. I was just glad to get finished. I never did enjoy picking butter beans or nor shelling them. I was just glad to see when the last one was finished. Still don't enjoy them today. But you know, the labor that we have in the fields today, for those that are lost, those that are not in church, those that need to hear about Jesus Christ. It's not one we get in a vehicle, Brother Brandon, and ride down the road and there it is. We may ride, and I've rode a many a mile. I've wore out a many a tire. And one thing I've learned about it, it isn't the mileage you put on a vehicle that helps someone.
Amen.
It's whether you believe you can help, and God's in it. So I'm asking you tonight as a church, do you believe that you have a work here in this community? In your homes? Are you willing to look to the author and the finisher of our faith? Or have you forgot or maybe taken your eyes off of this Jesus Christ lately? And if you want to think you've got it hard, you want to think that it's through you a curve and you don't know how to handle it, All you got to do is look at Jesus. There's not a man that faced more than he did in his life in a short period of time. I mean, how long have you been saved? How many years? You realize that Jesus only lived on this earth 33 and a half years? What did He endure, especially in that last 3.5 years? When He began to call men, laborers, to go out in the field. I mentioned Luke chapter 10. Let me drop down into it just a little bit. The 70 returned in verse 17 and said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." When you're facing hardships in life, do you find yourself rejoicing that you're saved? Or do you find yourself forgetting it? When's the last time you reminded yourself or you took time to think about, "My name's written in heaven"? What should I be afraid of? I watched people, I did say I wouldn't say much about COVID, but I watched people with COVID and you know, it was almost like they were scared to death. Saved people, like people that had made a profession of faith, that they were scared to death that they would die. You know what Paul did in Philippians chapter 2? If you're afraid to die tonight, and you said, "Brother Ted, I am saved. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not ready to go." But at the same time, if the Lord calls me home tonight, understand something, that I'm ready to go. When He gets ready, I love those grandbabies. I love the church. And maybe I ought to reverse that. The church and the people and those babies. I love all of that. I love the work. It's a joy. Even though there's times the heart is just breaking, Brother Brandon, to see people you love suffering in the way that they're doing. Instead of drawing closer to God, they're going away, and you're doing everything you possibly can to say, "Slow down, look at Jesus, and think about what you're doing." And they're going, they're steady going. Paul used this in verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ," of the first chapter. "But if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart." Do you hear that? I've been in a number of funerals since first of the year. And every time I walk by those caskets, and I look at them, and I know that they had made a profession of faith, they told it, I'm a little envious of them. And the reason I say that, I know where they're at. I don't mind staying here. Paul goes on, he said, "To be with Christ is far better, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." You ask the question, why are you still here? To remain in the flesh is more needful. God sees it that way. Why are we still here? He couldn't have already sent Jesus back and called us all home. He's called several along the way, hasn't He? And I'm glad they're gone. They're at rest. They're in perfect peace. And they're waiting to come back. The soul of those individuals waiting to follow Jesus back for the trump, the shout, and all that to take place. And the bodies change the moment, twinkling eye, to meet the Lord. Or to meet those souls. To ever be with the Lord. But for tonight, if we're going to finish this race that is set before us, I started to say a Christian race, but the word, people have used the word Christian so loosely, I refrain from using that very, very much. But I will say it's a race of faith. We were called into a race of faith. You reckon if you put it on a scale, how successful have you been tonight? Are you at your highest point now? Or has there been other times in life that you've been at a higher point? Then ask yourself the question, why is it not the highest tonight? What's caused your faith to creep down instead of go up? If we're looking to the finish and we're going to finish this race, then our faith should be going up, because you know why? That we're closer to the finish than we are when we begin. We're closer. Well, Brother Terry, it may be several years. You know what happens to years to you and I? They go by in a hurry. Seem like as we get a little older, they go faster, don't they? I mean, it looks like, you know, the grandbabies. We have a birthday, and the next thing I know, it's another. And it's another. And I told Addie here just a while back, I said, "Girl, you're already getting old." And she looked at me, she said, "Papa, what do you mean?" I said, "You're getting older. You've gone from 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, "You're increasing." I know she don't grasp at what I was kind of joking with her about, but the thing about it is, we're all getting a little older. We all got to old enough to know the need and have the need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we trusted Him, we began this race of faith in this life to finish the race. We were called to it. If you and I used and probably evaluated, we'd say, "Brother Terry, there's a lot of people quit." That is true. But that's them. That's not to be you and me. If Christ had got to Pilate's hall and He saw those Roman soldiers, and He said, "Father, I'm done. I've gone as far as You can send the angels now." He wouldn't have finished His work here, would He?
Amen.
If He got over there after they finished scourging Him and such, he could have said, "Father, those angels was on go. They ministered Him after the temptation. They ministered Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were ready to minister to Him there. They were waiting, and yet He never called for their need. He suffered it." The sufferings, Brother Brandon mentioned this morning, the sufferings that you and I have endured and do endure, Paul said, is but for a light thing. It's pretty well, just to classify it, it's a simple thing. "Well, Brother Terry, you don't know my life. You don't know." No, I don't. The other side of that, you don't know what I've been through either. Now, we could sit down and make a comparison to it. And we could walk away and say, "Mine's harder than yours." But there's never been one harder than the life of Jesus Christ. And gave more for people like you and me.
Amen.
And all these that have not trusted. He didn't suffer just mine and your sin. He suffered for the sin of all mankind. You ever studied what it's like, what it'd be like for those to God, what it does to God when people don't believe? It's almost like it's a statement as if when God says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." It's almost as like, "Ha, I told you so." Do you reckon how it's going to tear at the heart of Jesus? To stand there and look and look and know that there was a labor that went out in your behalf. If you don't trust Jesus, the labor that was given, the cost to Calvary that was given. And because you were not willing to look at the author and finisher of our faith, I don't know what hardens people. I don't know what pushes people. I know this: the devil can take that person and that individual, and they can look at Jesus and you're about hating. And the people that believe, and you're about hating them. But you're going to have to back away from that and see Jesus. I used the term last night, I think it was. He said, learn. Don't tell me you know anything about Jesus until you learn who He is. And when you learn how much He loved you and what He gave, there's no one else that's ever loved you the same and ever will. And He did it to do one thing for you, and that's to save your soul and give you eternal and abundant life. Abundant life is just simply a life of meaning and purpose and significance. Without it, people wander around. People waste. You ever wonder or ever think about what we waste of the time that God's given us in our life? We all try to stay busy, right? Some probably, especially you older ones, have worked hard in your lifetime. You reckon how much of that we gave in service to God compared to the rest? I was thinking in one other scripture, and I'll close with this, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both the Lord and Christ. I was in Philippians 2, and if you want to just read it, that's up to you. Philippians 2, verse 5, 6, along there, he tells us to let this mind be in you. Well, he gets down to verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Let's back up. The mind of Christ, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, has got to come from a new heart. It's not going to come from the evil heart.
Amen.
Then whenever you read on down to verse 9, he said, wherefore God also hath given him, hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that every knee shall bow, and that every tongue shall confess. You can confess here in this life while God gives opportunity, or there will come a time you can you'll be drawn to Him, moved to Him. I don't know how it'll be at the judgment, at the great white throne judgment. I don't think there's anyone that's going to run up there and say, God, I'm glad to meet you finally. I don't think there's a one that's going to go sniveling and crawling and begging up there because they already know what's there. I don't know how they're going to move, or do they have to advance to Him. I don't know. There's not going to be an earth, there's not going to be a heaven for them to stand nor hide on. Because the great white throne judgment is right after the destruction, the melting of all the elements. So they can do nothing but depend. It is His power to hold them to Him. And they're going to stand there. And they're going to look at the one that they did not trust and believe in. Confess. There they can confess. There's people in hell tonight that's confessing His name that wouldn't while they lived on this earth. The difference is you can be heard here. And there's no hearing it there. The rich man, Brother Terry, he was heard. What was his answer? They had Moses and the prophets. And if they hear not them, he said, then they would not believe though one rose from the dead. You're going to have to believe it here. The confession of faith. While we have a verse of the song. You know, there's a lot of people that look at it, and I'll be the first to tell you, when I trusted Jesus, my thought was, being shy and various things, I wouldn't go tell anyone. I wasn't going down that aisle to talk to people. Brother Ryan says back here, he can remember probably one of the first times I ever preached. About as timid, shy as any person has ever tried to stand. You may not look like it tonight. A man made that statement, so it don't look like it now, Brother Terry. You just don't know what's inside. I'm still just as afraid to stand tonight as I was the first time. But when I trusted Jesus, I was ready to tell somebody. Don't make a pact with yourself. Don't make a pact, and I've heard people say that. We made a pact with one another that we'd never make it known. Become the confessor of faith in the beginner and the finisher. Work in this life and become part of the labor to win those souls.
Amen.
While we have a song.
76.
Appreciate you coming tonight. I ask you to bow with us. Father, we humbly bow our heads. We thank you that we come and be back in your house. We trust you take your word and use it, accomplish your will, and Father, with what you would accomplish, that we wouldn't be just the hearers, we could be the doers. Ask you to have mercy. Help these that are here tonight, those that are not. Help have mercy on those that are unsaved, that they can see the need. And Father, they would trust Jesus before it be everlasting too late. Encourage these that are here. Strengthen those that are saved. Help us all understand better the fields that are wide unto harvest. And help us become the laborers, those that are laborers of faith. And Father, any time that we face a challenge or any time we see the obstacle and it looks like we just look at it, help us to look to Jesus and compare what we face to what He faced. And what we face is just a light thing compared to what He thinks.
Amen.
Give us the grace to help. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Brandon.
Thankful for the good message. I hope every one of us has a greater zeal going forward to serve the Lord. And consider this. Consider what Christ has done for us. If we consider that every day, it would change our attitude. It would change our outlook. We just look at what Christ has done for us. And then it would seem reasonable. Well, if this neighbor doesn't like what I have to say because I stand with Christ, that's okay. They didn't like Christ when He was here. It would change us if we would just look to Christ and have boldness. Paul made that prayer one time. He said, "Pray for me that I might have boldness." He wasn't asking for arrogance. He wasn't asking for anything selfish. He was asking that he would have the courage to stand, not because of who he was, but because of who he was serving. That makes all the difference in the world. And we need to stand because the church is the only one that's been given the authority to preach the word to this lost and dying world. If we don't do it, nobody else will. We need to take that burden seriously. We need to take what God's called His church to be serious. And we need to be that light in this world. Again, appreciate the message. I wonder if there's any word or announcement before we have a verse of a song.
Might take it up off the love
on. Hear this. Certainly, let's be in prayer tonight. Be praying for the service tomorrow, the services, Brother Terry, and the messages that God would give him. And let's pray for one another. Pray for the lost. I appreciate what Brother Terry even mentioned about confessing. You know, I have heard some say, "Well, if I trust Christ, I'm not telling anybody." That's a horrible thing to say, isn't it? There's no reward in that. There's no blessings in that. If God saved you, why wouldn't you want to share it? Y'all ever had something good happen to you and you want to share it? You know, my little daughter ran up to me the other day because she lost a tooth. She is so proud of losing that tooth. You know, the old one's gone, new one will be coming in. She's so proud of that. They make an A on a report card. "Let me show you this. Let me show you what I've done." Seems like they build something with Legos or something. "Let me show you this. Let me show you what I've done." But you're talking about God doing something for you in salvation. How can you have the greatest thing in the world happen to you and you not want to tell somebody? You not want to share it. Especially when you know the same thing you've got is the same thing that God's offering them. Why would you not want to share it? We need to have that burden. We need to have that zeal to honor the Lord because He's done so much for us in Christ. Again, let's pray for the service. If there's no other word, we'll have a verse of a song. After this song, be dismissed.
227.